What's up? Welcome to another great episode of Full Guard Fight Radio here. We got the just a few days until Christmas. We're ready to go. We got some great guests on hand tonight. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my special co-host tonight. My boy Jason's just got some work issues again. Wish you the best, Jason. Can't wait to get you back on in a couple weeks, man. So in the meantime, though, tonight, none other than the great Mr. Skippy Cohen.
What's up, killer? Thank you for having me on your show, man. I would love getting out here to the big FLA when I can. You know, I love it, dude. How you been, bro?
I've been great, man. It's always a pleasure having you on here, Skippy. I miss my buddy, but you know, I wish him the best. Can't wait to get him back on with us. But in the meantime, you are definitely no slouch. So it's always a pleasure, sir.
Why don't you take I'll let you take a run at things, and then I'll jump in. You know, this is your show, so I'll fly to the side, man. Why don't you start the show?
All right, man. Well, first and foremost, like we always do, give a shout-out to our wonderful sponsors, BrawlBase.com, CrossRoaderClothing.com, GatorMMA.com. Thanks for all that you guys do for the sport. Thanks for all that you guys do for us. I like to always give a shout-out to www.gfl.tv for helping promo the show as well. Some great guys out there, great events, always got a lot of stuff going on, so check them out as well. While on that subject, actually, I want to jump on some stuff that's been going on down here at Gator and this area in the past week or so. This past Saturday, Gator MMA and with the help of Team Assassin, they held the Global MMA Fighting Championships Beach Brawl. Was the debut event for that promotion, going to be the only event for that promotion. It was a good event, some good fights. We'll talk about that later in the night after we rock our guests. But basically, you know, Daniel Blevins and Viet Lee were brought together, Gator MMA and Team Assassin, and have been rocking it together for a few months. And just due to some recent events, Viet Lee has actually moved on, will be pursuing other interests in another place. Daniel Blevins and the whole team down at Gator wish nothing but the best for Viet Lee and his family, you know, and all that he ventures into in the future. You know, Daniel just sends out his best wishes and has nothing but positive feelings and the best, nothing but the best for him. So it's going to be a new chapter for Gator. It's an exciting chapter. I'm privileged to be a part of it. Going to be helping them put on fights, helping them find fights, helping them find places for their fighters to go. You know, I have a few connections down here with some promotions, so definitely be looking for to help them out, you know, and stuff. But it's going to be exciting. You know, Gator MMA is a great place. Daniel Blevins, phenomenal guy. I got the utmost respect for that guy. He's just a great dude and got nothing but the best interest for his fighters at hand, you know. He doesn't make the decisions for his fighters. We sit down as a team. You know, I'm honored to be included in that team. But we sit down as a team and we research fighters, and we make sure that these fights are going to be for good for some of our guys down there at Gator, you know. But, yeah, so it's going to be a great chapter. You know, I've talked with Carl behind the scenes about this, and I've talked with Daniel as well. You know, MMA Madhouse is behind Daniel Blevins and Gator MMA 100%, and we will continue to support them and to rock that Gator MMA name. You know me, I hardly go a few minutes without saying their name. I love those guys. So that'll be it, man. Just Gator MMA from here on out. No Team Assassin, no Global MMA. So should be exciting, though. There's a lot of big changes, a lot of great things going to be taking place down there. So, but yeah, man, moving on. We got a big show tonight. We're going to start off with Antonio McKee. Then we're going to have we had a last minute change. You know, we had a guest who just wasn't able to be with us tonight, and Jason Ellis from Relentless Sports Management stepped up last minute. I literally messaged him about an hour before the show and was like, you know, you got 20 minutes for us? And he said, absolutely. So I know he's a buddy of yours, Skippy. I'm sure you'll be excited, man. Get him on the air and talk with him for a little bit. And then,
oh, yeah, I always like bullshitting with him. He's a good guy, man. Love him, dude. He's doing great things, big things all across the country, man, including with a fighter, you know, with the Madhouse banner, Amanda Bell. So, you know, I know you guys have talked about her in the past, but, yeah, he's always doing, and there's a lot more, trust me, a lot more onto the up there that they're doing. And I don't know what he'll be able to tell us and what he won't, but, you know, we'll get into it with him. I'm actually super, super pumped about McSweeney, dude. I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, once again, Madhouse, he showed us a lot of love at Legacy, man, and I really, you know, I'm going to talk about that incident and what he did to help us out there and the love he showed us, and, you know, he's a good guy, man. I think he's a great fighter. You know, also McKee, we got Antonio McKee, you know, dude, yeah, one of the best striking instructors in the state of Oregon, you know, where I'm from, a guy named Jimmy Smith. Worked with him in his early years as a striking coach. I mean, you know, you have so many ties. It's so funny, you know, how big Madhouse has become. It's whether Canada or the East Coast, West Coast, all these ties, and we're all coming together, you know, and it happens to be on your show because, I mean, we have ties to every single one of these individuals, you know, between Carl being, you know, growing up and with the MFC up in Canada and, you know, me out here with Jimmy Smith and knowing, you know, Relentless Sports Management, Manager of the Year, badass Jason, you know, I'm super, super excited about that. Like, it makes McSweeney, dude, just cool SOB.
Yeah, man. Be an exciting night. We'll get to, you know, after we go through our guests, we'll get to some MMA news, some stuff that's been going on out there this week. You know, as always, I like to cover I like to cover whatever's happened. You know, if it's MMA related, I try to keep up to date on it. I read through the apps, you know, the MMA Torch and the Undergrounds, and do my best to keep up to date with everything that's going on. And hopefully we'll get some time here at the end, 20, 25 minutes or so. We'll talk about some stuff going on. I know you were a bit upset the other day. I think it was yesterday with the news of Alexander Emelianenko retiring. And I myself seen a few of his fights here or there, but I know I'm a big fan of Fedor and big fan of those guys, and it's a shame to see him retire. He's still kind of young, only like 31 or 32. So
yeah, but he comes, you know, like I said, he's an old guard fighter. You know, somebody, you know, once again, you know, a lot of people will probably disagree with this, but you know, both McSweeney and Antonio McKee are both, you know, to me, old guard fighters. They come from the old school of fighting before the huge influx in popularity. I mean, you know, something I'm definitely interested to McSweeney about is, you know, he had a ridiculous fight years ago, you know, in 2007. You know, it wasn't what the, you know, MMA market is today, especially with how dominant the UFC has become today. But, you know, both Fedor and Alex are phenomenal fighters who in early 2000, these guys were all making what we know today as MMA. I mean, I know the blackout periods came and stuff, but only here in America. People like Alexander, you know, he has been fighting for a long time. I know he's young, but he's been fighting for 10, 12, 13 years, you know, and a pro for at least 10 of that, if not more. He's had a lot of issues as of late with, you know, blood work in certain countries not allowing him to be able to fight there because of that. And it for me, it's sad because this is a day and age when we're losing fighters who fought, and they fought for one reason. That was to show they were the best fighter in the world, the best fighter in that town, to show that their pride was the best. They did it for honor, pride, and glory. Nowadays, Fighters are fighting for a paycheck, and don't get me wrong, they should get paid, but there's a different mentality behind that, because now you have a less dominating sport with finishes and more decisions, and that is because fighters are fighting to get paid, not fighting to win.
Yeah, you are seeing a big change in fighters. I mean, the sport's ever evolving. It's always changing, and that's a good thing, but I do agree. You're seeing a lot of people just trying to, you know, lay and pray, you know, grind out victories and stuff. It's a shame, you know. You still got your finishers out there. You know, it's awesome to see Hector Lombard come back with a big KO finish this last weekend. We'll stop there. We'll get back into that later.
Well, real quick, let me just say, and there's a big difference for those fans listening tonight. Look, if you're in guard and you're beating this guy down and he is just a tough guy, that's understandable. But if you're just humping a leg to get points and you're not advancing your position, you're not keeping, you know, your body tight so that he's not throwing these nasty punches from underneath and you're controlling the fight and dominating it, that's a different story. When I talk about a fighter who fights, it's a fighter who in all aspects of the game is continually trying to win the game, not try to score points. I just want to clarify that. I don't want people tweeting me in a half hour talking about, well, what about this guy? What about this guy? Because one of the prime examples of a master on the ground is a guest we have in queue right now. And, you know, I'd like to bring Mr. Antonio McKee on right now if we could.
Hello?
Hey, how are you doing tonight, bro?
Hey, what's up? I was just listening to that. I was laughing my ass off.
Who was that? Well, you're a perfect example of what I'm trying to get across. Is you have guys like you who, it doesn't matter, top or bottom, you're going to go for that win. Standing up, laying down, in the clinch, you're always working to get the better position to win the fight. Now, today, a lot of guys get to the dominant position to hold the fight there and to win on points. Do you agree with that?
I mean, I think every fighter that goes out to fight is trying to win the fight and finish the fight. Very rare do you see a guy just hold somebody. I mean, there's times and positions where you need to settle your weight down so you don't get rolled and so you don't end up fighting different submissions. But overall, I think most of the guys that are fighting in the level of the fight game now, guys are trying to finish fights, it included myself. I just happen to be really good at positioning, dominating position, and, you know, just punching people's faces.
And you are. and if anybody out there, you know, I believe you're something like, in the last 10 years, you're like 20-2-1. And, I mean, your only two losses, obviously, which a lot of people, including one judge, felt went your way, which was the Volkov fight. But other than that, I mean, you have torn through people for the last 10 years. And a lot of it has to do with your superior ground game.
Yeah, well, you know, like I tell people, we want to classify this mixed martial arts as a sport. Unfortunately, it's entertainment right now. Now, there are sports that are entertaining, but it gets a little bit, you kind of walk the fine line when you have promoters that talk, disrespect fighters, call them pussies, and disrespect women, disrespect the media, disrespect other organizations. I think that shows the unprofessionalism in our sport. And so far, I consider it entertainment right now. Now, also, I think when you look at the styles of fighters, you got a lot of these fighters that are running out here that are young guns, and they're putting on a great show, and they're getting socked in the face, getting their eyelids busted up, getting their nose broken, getting their orbitals broken. Let's see how long their fight careers last, and there's no pension, no retirement, no medical, and no benefits. I mean, you got to be smart. You know, people get angry at me because I'm intelligent. And I get angry at them because they're stupid. It's just not where it needs to be yet. You know, and one of the big players, the UFC, they're so big and powerful. I can appreciate the fact that they gave fighters medical, but I have been pushing that for the last 9 years. Just like we went up to Sacramento, we're trying to push the fighters union so fighters own their, keep their rights and likeness and imaging. There's so much more to the sport considering the type of revenue that it's bringing in. I think we need to educate people more on the fighters than the actual sport, because there's a different opinion if it's your cousin or it's your uncle or it's your father out there getting his orbital broke or his eye busted up or his face split open, and he's just constantly fighting every 3 to 4 months, and the flesh in his face is so soft that as soon as he gets slapped, he's leaking blood. I mean, now it's a different thing, and it's because why? It's someone you are close to, someone you related to, and you can get a perfect example of that with Chuck Liddell in the UFC. They told Chuck he's not fighting anymore. But prior to that, you watch Chris Lehman go out there and get beat to bloody pulp 4 or 5 times, back to back to back to back, and put on a great show. You see what I'm saying? So I think there needs to be fairness across the board for fighters. And the amount of money that we're being, you know, that we're making, I don't think any fighter would have a problem with taking 5% of his purse, putting back toward a pension or a retirement plan at all. I'm not talking about the guys that are the number of top 10 guys of the UFC, because those are the guys that Dana White is talking about, saying that these guys are making good money. But what about all the guys that make the show? And he showed you the respect level of fighters when he very easily canceled the show, inconsiderate, non-considerate of all the other fighters, when Jones didn't want to fight a person. That showed you right there exactly what I'm talking about.
I totally agree. And knowing that I didn't realize that you would have such strong feelings about this, I got to ask you, do you also believe, to help the sport, that there should be, like the USA Boxing has, an amateur rules across the board, regulations for all promotions in all states?
Absolutely. You know, I'm a promoter, a fighter, a trainer, a manager, so I play all aspects of the game. And, you know, I did, let's say in 2012, I did over 13 shows, which is, you know, averaging slightly over a show a month. And it was really, it was sad to see a bunch of young kids and amateurs that thought they were amateur fighters running in there, getting their faces split open, some of them suffering injuries as amateurs that they'll never fight again. So I think that when we talk about the amateur division, I think you need a headgear. I think you need a shin pads. It's just the way it should be, because there's so much risk involved in this sport. And like I say, as a promoter, I'm watching guys get hurt, and I'm the promoter. And I want to change these things. Unfortunately, I didn't write the rules and regulations to the amateur division, but they definitely need to be changed because it's way too risky. I watched a guy on my show last week. I had 4 stoppages, and the ambulance had to take 2 people out. So we need headgear. We need to implement some safety equipment for these guys.
Like a pancration maybe style, where we have an AB class?
I just think there needs to be a headgear. Juanito Yabero has a special headgear. And I think there needs to be a special type of shin pad. And they need, remember those Kung Fu glass, the Bruce Lee wore those big, 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 thick glass gloves in Enter the Dragon? We need gloves like that, not these little 4-ounce gloves, 6-ounce gloves. They say they're 8 ounces, but these things are cutting you open. And I think it really needs to be a true amateur on the feet and on the ground situation. But you're getting guys throwing knees. You're getting guys, you know, accidentally throwing elbows because this guy went this way, he got hit. Now don't get me wrong, you're gonna have your accidents. But I watched Camel lose an insurance policy because it was just too many injuries. And that's what this sport is about. Taking care of the fighters and being safe and safety fighters to put on a great show for the fans. Now, if fighters were making more money, if we were making what boxers are making, then we can afford to go out and get our orbital broke or get kicked in the head and get knocked out. We can afford concussions, because the amount of money that we're making to take care of our family in one fight, it's a substantial amount of money to be able to do that. Unfortunately, when you're signing a 5-fight deal and you're making 3-3, 4-4, 5-5, and then they control your sponsors, I mean, this is crazy. But yet, if you put on a great show and you get bullied up and beat up and busted up or knock somebody out cold, we got a great cash bonus for you in the back. I just think there needs to be some type of control with this.
Yeah, absolutely, Antonio. I agree. You know, on that subject of the amateur rules, you know, they just passed, or they're getting ready to pass a law here in Florida about the amateur rules. You know, with the amateur rules in Florida, you wear the shin pads. There's no ground and pound to the face. And you've got the 8-second stand-up. Now, I mean, in my opinion, the law they're getting ready to pass down here, they're getting rid of the No Ground and Pound of the Faith. Come like February or March of next year, it should be passed. It should be final that the 8-second stand-up will be gone and the ground and pound to the face will be legal. Still, as far as I know, still no elbows or anything like that. So now, I mean, as far as like on that same subject of fighter safety and protecting the fighter, in my opinion, the 8-second stand-up is far more dangerous for that fighter's health than ground and pound to the face. You know, if you're on top of a fighter, he's got him down, ground and pound to the face, I feel like is a much safer stoppage than standing a guy up who's been half knocked out, giving him 8 seconds. He's probably already half concussed, and then the fighter comes back at him and really does damage to him. So, I mean, what's your feeling on that? Because that's actually just about to go down here.
I absolutely agree with what you're saying. I think, again, we have people making decisions that are inexperienced in fighting. I think there needs to be a higher order to bring in people who have fight experience or bring in 100 fighters and do, out of 100 questions, the top 10 or the one that gets the most. Because fighters know. MMA fighters know. And I don't think there's too many fighters that would agree with trauma, concussions, and fighters getting a standing eight count. I don't think any of them would agree, especially the educated ones. Now, you get some crazy kid out of some barn that lived in Iowa in the back of the woods, and he's an Iowa wrestler, and he just wants to fight. Yeah, you're going to get a guy like that that just wants to pound on somebody's face. But I'm talking about more people like me, people like Frank Shamrock. Look at the examples of what this sport has produced, the retirements of some of these great fighters. They can't even walk straight, let alone talk, hold a sentence. I mean,
look
it speaks for itself.
Gary Goodrich.
Yeah, and I think Gary Goodrich is fighting Dream 18 with me.
Speaking of that fight, I got to say, I believe, and I know a lot of people are going to call me an idiot, but people keep saying you're going to get tapped, and I think it's the opposite. I think you're going to just kill him. I truthfully do. I have you as a pick, second round submission win. Everybody keeps telling me I'm retarded. They're like, have you ever seen Aoki? I'm like, have you ever seen McKee?
Well, you know what?
How do you feel going into this as an underdog?
You know what? I love it because, you know, again, people, they don't have experience. It's all about the hype. I watched Gilbert Melendez beat Aoki. Gilbert Melendez would not beat me because, first of all, I would be able to take him down. Aoki couldn't take Gilbert down. Aoki can't handle pressure. Aoki doesn't have a true heart to fight. He's just really technical. I'm training with guys that are just as technical as him, and they can't do anything with me. They just say, McKee, wherever you want to be in this fight, you can be. But I'm not going to take that as become overconfident in this fight. I've trained really hard for the fight. I weigh 163 pounds right now. I'm really excited about going over there because he was one of the guys that I wanted to always fight at 43 years old. I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to shock the world. It's going to be fun. I think I'm going to get a stoppage in the second round.
Wow. See, wait, look, we're both on the same page because I felt second round is where you're going to just tear him apart. I'm smart.
I can tell you the fight if you want to know. I can tell you the fight. I'll walk you right through it. First round, I'm going to stay on my feet, jab him. I'm going to kick him out the ring like I did Brian Cobb. I'm going to punch and move. He's not going to be able to deal with the speed. And then maybe at the end of the first round, I'm going to take him down with a couple of minutes, maybe a minute left, just to show him the power that I have when I get on top of him. I don't think he's ever felt anything like me. And everyone will tell you that when they fought me, they go, man, I've never felt anybody that strong, that powerful, that fast and athletic. And that right there creates confusion on the ground. And then I don't think he's used to elbows sliding across his body. He probably feels comfortable that I can't elbow him in the face. But I've been practicing for the last month of just elbowing him to the body, weaken his core, because I looked at his body. His core is not really strong. He's real long and lanky, and he's really flexible. But I just can't see it. And then, you know, the second round, we're going to get back up on our feet, and I'm going to move around, and I'm going to dance, and I'm actually going to pick him up and slam him on his head. And then I'm going to unleash a severe ground and pound. I watched him break his Eddie Alvarez. His heart isn't in fighting anymore. I don't know if you can see it, but I can read a fighter pretty well, and this is why I've been undefeated for so long. Even when I lost to Volkman, I did things different, but the crowd, for once in my life, cheered for me when they booed for me going out, cheered for me as they gave Volkman the victory. They booed Volkman and cheered for me. So that was a beautiful thing. The way I look at it, I'm still undefeated and haven't lost in 8 years, 9 years. And I'm going to go over here and I'm going to shock the world. And someone said, would I fight in the UFC if they gave me another opportunity? Absolutely not. I love the UFC for what they're doing for the sport. There is no way I want to patronize an organization that has an idiot like Dana White as the president of the company. Just absolutely not.
Can I make you the godparent of all my children? I think you're my hero at this point.
Well, that was why I got kicked out of there.
Dude, me and you are on the same page. And before we get off that page, when you were talking about your walk through the fight, I got to ask you, have you been able to find somebody who can just ride those hips as well as Aoki to train with? Have you been able to, because you know he brings those hips gradually up and up and up and up. I mean, have you found somebody who's able to kind of replicate that?
I got somebody that's his twin. It's Jay Manley from Gracie Baja. Jason Manley, they're exactly the same size. The difference is Jay Manley is way more athletic and stronger than Aoki. Aoki is more flexible, but here in this situation, flexibility is not going to win against power.
Man, that's great. I mean, that's a great guy to bring in, man. I truly believe that you're being prepared.
He has a slight advantage that my age. If I were to get tired in the fight, then he may be able to pull off a submission. But I haven't even been caught nowhere near a submission. He could also go for a lot of heel hooks. That would probably be his smartest asset in this fight. Unfortunately, I don't have a problem with defending heel hooks and stuff like that. He's going to have to take some punishment to get me in a heel hook.
Well, I'll tell you what. I go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, man, I mean, it's exciting. I'm honestly, I was glad to hear when they were, the dream was coming back, and I hope it really works out for them this time, man. It's going to be an exciting fight. I'm looking forward
to
seeing
you guys. Well, I'm more worried about getting paid, not the fight, to be honest with you.
that's an interesting thing, we have a guest coming on later, and that's, something I've always been curious about. I was going to ask him, and maybe I'll just ask you instead. With, organizations, in the past, like K1 having some problems paying their fighters, and even Glory at a point having some problems with fighters getting what they were, rightfully owed completely, did that give you any concern signing this fight deal?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
We're still here.
Hello, sorry about that.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you, with what you just said and the issue over the last 8 or 9 years, especially with European and Asian companies, did you hesitate signing this contract?
No, absolutely not, because Aoki is one of the guys. Again, guys, we got to remember a lot of fighters don't fight for the money. They fight for the glory. Unfortunately, I fight just to piss everybody off.
Well, you know what? It's exactly before you came on the show, exact statement I said. I said, the old guard fighters, we were talking about Alexander retiring. I said, the fighters from his generation fought for pride and honor. They didn't fight for a paycheck. And you just said it, man. Thank you. You just justified it. Mm.
Imagine,
what a great night. What a great night.
Imagine how easy it is to manipulate a fighter and own the rights and likeness and imaging of that fighter when all he wants to do is fight. See, this is why the Ali Act was implemented, and now we're allowing fighters to be treated less than citizens that are citizens of the United States with degrees, and we're treating them like they're morons with no degrees. It's just not fair, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I had to be the one to say it, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
I bet you Dana White would let his son sign a contract where they own the rights and likeness and imaging to him. I bet you Dana White wouldn't appreciate if his son was fighting and had a bad fight one night and got two fight of the night in UFC shows, and his son fought one night with the flu because he was forced to fight with the flu, and his son lost, and then they fired him. I don't think Dana White would appreciate anything like that. See, most of these guys are wannabe, they're groupie. I call them groupie wannabe fighters. They want to be fighters, so they walk around on steroids with the ball heads trying to be intimidating and tough. And the only thing that makes him tough is his money. And, his, you know, I like, again, I say I respect sport, I respect UFC, but I don't respect the decision that they made to have an idiot like that as a president, and the way he conducts himself and, you know, just his behavior is completely unacceptable.
Yeah, man, I kind of, you know, lately I know Skippy shares this this feeling, you know, it seems like lately he's been scrambling, you know, with all the injured fighters, all the canceled fights and such, and the way he just kind of, when he, you know, had his back to completely turned, he had a completely closed-minded to women's MMA, and then all of a sudden now he's scrambling to sign women's fighters, and
look, man,
he's given Ronda Rousey the title without, you know, any type of burning it and stuff. It just seems like panic mode.
Okay, what does it sound like to me? It doesn't sound like a sport. I mean, a sport to me. It sounds like WWF shit. This isn't WWF shit.
No, Antonio, I totally agree with you on this, Antonio. Now, and let me ask you, if you were to take your promotion tomorrow and go out into the media and say you're awarding a brand new weight class title to a fighter who never fought there, every promoter around you would call you a fake or a joke or unlegit, wouldn't they?
Come on, man. You know that it's not acceptable and that's not how it works. Unless they got something personal going on that we don't know about.
Hey, look, I only got about 3 minutes left before we run out of this segment. I want you to have time to give shout-outs to any sponsors, any social media, any way for fans and fighters to find you.
Right now, I just want to give shout-out to God and my kids and my loved ones and the people that are close to me that have had my back and to my fans that have always been my fans since day one, regardless of what I said or did. They stayed loyal to me. And you guys for having me on. I appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to going over here in Japan and whooping on Aoki and come back. I'm representing, you know what I mean? I'm representing the USA in my backyard.
That's right. Hey, I wish you the best of luck. Like I told you, I already picked you second round. I've said it before tonight's show. I'll continue to say it. I stand behind that decision. I never realized me and you had so many of the same mentalities about this sport, and it's an honor tonight for me to have kicked back and talk with you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure talking to you, too. You guys have a happy Christmas and a safe New Year, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, man. Best of luck to you.
Okay, bye-bye. Get off the goddamn
phone. Dude, that was a great, great interview, bro.
Yeah, man. I have to say, you know, I didn't want to say this with him on the phone, but I'm a big fan of Shinya Aoki, so I'm really excited about that fight. I'm really excited to watch him go out there and take care of Shinya just like he said he was going to, man. So I think that'll be a great fight. I wanted to ask him a couple other questions, but I really didn't want to interrupt his flow. It says, from what I'm reading online, it says that he's signed to the Championship Fighting Alliance down here in Miami, so I kind of wanted to talk with him about that. But he was it was a great flow and a great convo, so I didn't want to interrupt it or throw anything in there. So, yeah, man, it's exciting. That's gonna be a big card. That Dream 18 is a big card. It's going to be a good fight. You know, like I said, I'm a big fan of Shinya. I love watching his submissions.
I tell you what, I know that you and London here on Full Guard Fight Radio, you guys have just been rocking together for a few months. But, dude, I'll tell you what, something I learned after about 8 months of doing Madhouse with Carl before I got Lepaki as a co-host, you want to know a good interview? Is when a guy has a top fight, and you guys don't even talk about it, but for like 2 minutes. That was a kick-ass interview. I mean, we honestly, I guarantee you, everybody else who talks to him is going to talk to him about nothing but the Aoki fight. Now, we just learned so much about his mentality, his beliefs, his understanding of the sport. You know, this was a great, great interview. I really thank you for bringing me on, man, tonight to guest host with you.
Hey, no problem, dude. I mean, you know, there's no doubt in me. You rocked that interview, bro. So, I mean, you guys really you guys had a good flow going, and I mean, that was a great interview, some great questions, and he's got a lot to say, and I was, you know, it was awesome to hear, and awesome to hear his feelings and his outlook on the sport, man. You know, before we jump in with Jason Ellis, I do want to give a report from this last weekend at the Global MMA Fight Card. Gator MMA was supposed to have three guys on the card, but unfortunately, Zenon Herrera, his fight didn't take place because his opponent didn't have blood work, which to me is kind of it's a big disrespect to his. You know, you don't come into a fight with the proper stuff. You know, that's a slap in the face to your opponent who's been working hard and making sure he's got everything done. So I don't know the backstory to why he doesn't have his blood work or whatever, but to me that's kind of a bummer. You know, Zenon, he goes by Z, but he's a hard worker, man. He works hard, just got a relentless attitude towards working hard, towards getting better and learning and stuff. And it's unfortunate that his fight didn't happen, but he had a great outlook on it. You know, he said, you know, things happen for a reason, so it's unfortunate that it happened, but Z's always ready to go. But the other two guys, Mean Dean Stupar and Ladarius Jackson, they both fight on the card, both out of Gator, both had great fights. Dean, talking about disrespect for your opponents, Dean's opponent was supposed to, they were fighting at 125, Dean weighed in at 126, they were giving him a 5 pound, they were giving him a 5 pound window. As long as you were within 5 pounds of your opponents, you were good. His opponent, Steven Esquivel, flew out from Texas, right? Supposed to weigh in at 126, shows up to the weigh-ins, he weighs in at 139. Right there, that's a smack in the face to your opponent who's, you know, Dean was doing everything he could, man, cutting weight. He says it's easy. He says it's no sweat cutting to 125, but I see him working every day, and I see it's not easy, man, when these guys cut weight. So his opponent was given one last opportunity. He would weigh in the day of the fights. He comes back in the next morning, you know, before the fights, weighs in at 147, put on another 8 pounds, man. That just Dean was a little pissed, but Dean, he's like, you know what, I came here ready to fight. Dean fought him. Dean controlled him for three solid rounds, got a unanimous decision, one of the easiest unanimous decisions that I've ever seen. So Mean Dean went out there, he did his work, and came out with a great victory. And then, of course, you know, Ladarius Jackson, man, going into his fifth amateur fight, going to probably be his last amateur fight, as he has options to go pro or to do some other stuff. You know, he's got some options with the WWE. He's exploring his options and exploring, you know, what's ahead of him in his future. But Ladarius went out, just dominated his opponent, Michael Bentley. It was for the 170 championship belt there out of Global MMA. And Ladarius got his TKO victory, a beautiful third-round TKO victory. Got on top of him in the full mount, and he ground and pounded to the chest and to the arms to the point where the ref stopped the fight because he didn't want to see Michael Bentley take any more damage. So it was a great weekend for the Gator guys. Gator guys have a bunch of fights coming up next month. A couple of those fight cards I'll be out at, World Class Fight League 2, and then February 16th, they're looking up on helping a fight card here. Not sure on the details of that yet, but Gator guys, 12-2 in competition as a team. You know, they're no slouches, man. These guys work hard. Their two losses were bad fights and were fights that they probably shouldn't have been in, and just kind of a lot goes into that, the backstory of that. But 12-2 in MMA competition, and it's just going up from there. You know, I can't talk enough about them. Whenever Gator guys fight, whenever Gator guys have fights, you'll hear it from me. We're going to have a couple of their guys on here come January. Was rolling and doing some jiu-jitsu with them all tonight and was talking about getting them on. I'm just excited to help that place grow. So it's a great weekend from the guys at Gator, and look for some big fights coming up from them. We're gonna be jumping in with Jason Ellis from Relentless Sports Management here in a couple minutes. I wanted to say, you know, I did mention it to talking with Antonio, but there should be a law passed here in March of 2013 with anybody, any amateurs with at least three fights, they will be able to do ground and pound to the face. So that's a big one. I know a lot of the fighters I talk to are excited about that. But, yeah, we'll get more on that.
Yeah, I like pancration-style rules, man. They worked up here in the Pacific Northwest in the early, you know, in the early days before MMA even took off. I mean, it's worked well in other organizations. I do know I have great friends in this industry who disagree with me. We watched some guys with puffies and shin pads fight the other day on an event on Go Fight Live TV, and dude, this guy got knocked the out, man. I mean, bad fucking dog. So it can happen, man. And, yeah, dude, let's bring hey, Jason. You there, brother?
I'm here, brother.
Hey, how you doing tonight, man?
Tired, man, but, you know, thank you for having me on.
Well, look, before I kick back, like, me and you were just, you know, on the street corner hanging out like, you know, we normally talk, you know, let the host do all his spiel.
What's going on, Jason, man? It's nice to somewhat meet you here. I've heard a lot about you through Skippy. You know, Skippy rarely stops talking, so he's always talking about his buddies, always talking about the guys he has respect for. So I feel like I know you a little bit, but, I mean, for the people that may not be familiar with what you're doing at Relentless Sports Management, just kind of, you know, talk about what RSM is all about and what you guys do.
Well, you know, first off, I mean, we're only as good as our clients, you know what I mean? We create opportunities, but it's a team effort. Like, it's not a one-man show or, you know, it's not a one-man show, you know, because here's the thing. At the end of the day, you know, we create the opportunities for our clients to be active. You know, our clients put the blood, sweat, and tears in the gym to be able to go in there, you know, and have the honor, you know, doing battle in the cage, you know, and, you know, like our clients aren't fighters. They're martial artists. If that makes any sense. And I believe in,
absolutely,
you know, some of the traditional things and, you know, I'm not very good with interviews, Rob, so you have to excuse me. normally I don't particularly care to, because I'm not one of those people that, let me get my picture taken with this person or, you know, give interviews and things like that. And,
no, you're the guy in the background in the dark shadows that's creeping around at 3 a.m. moving paper from one side of the office getting things done. We all know. I know that. And just for all the fans
exactly
out there listening, this guy, I trust me, I'm on the West Coast. He's on the East Coast. And when we're having a conversation about business at 3 o'clock my time, and we've been on the phone for 2 hours trying to get work done, you know, obviously he's hustling way late into the night, like the real guys getting things done. I mean, look, let's be honest. It's what you represent with your company, Relentless Sports Management, and what your team represents is why you guys have great, you know, people who step up to work with your fighters like NLA Performance and Brawling Mall, and, you know, obviously grabbing tough prints for Amanda. You know, obviously we know a little bit because, you know, we
right
met him on the show. But, you know, you have to, you know, fans out there have to realize and know that the amount of work that Relentless Sports Management is putting out there for their fighters is second to none. I mean, these guys bring it to the table, man. They get their fighters great fights. You guys support them well. And so we don't turn this into such a Q&A. Let's just kick back and talk MMA with you. You know, we'll pick your brain some because obviously, you know, there's a great card coming up. And I know you know a lot of, you know, the fighters coming around. So, you know, let's just kind of, you know, we'll work, you know, your business into this, but let's not turn it into like a Q&A so you can just enjoy it.
I'm down with that. You know, I mean, it's actually some interesting developments, man, and have been happening today. And actually, Skip, I'll be able to tell you tomorrow, brother. I can't tell you now, unfortunately, but some very big news with Susie Montero have been made today. It's just, unfortunately, I can't let it out until tomorrow.
Well,
but I think it's
going
to be a surprise to everybody. Everybody's going to be like, oh, nice.
I can ask you to talk about, I believe CFA coming up next year has a tournament.
Yes.
And
yes,
how excited is the community of women fighters in the different promotions in Florida to see a tournament like this? I mean, is there
honestly,
big buzz about
I think people are, the buzz hasn't really started to hit. I mean, there's still talk about it with rumors. I don't think people realize it's actually been put together because it only in the last couple of days has it really started to come out a little bit. You know, Taylor Stratford announced that she signed her first pro debut, and Ashley Evan Smith, and that's really the first buzz of it coming out. And then I saw an article on the Madhouse site. Somehow you guys managed to find out. I don't know, man. It's just...
That's how we do it, bro. We work at 24/7 like you, man. You know, that's
you know,
part of the reason we got Matthew and Jason down there in Florida, man, because Florida's blowing up, man. You guys are rocking up some great fighters, some amazing gyms. I mean, and obviously you are making your company's reach all the way to the West Coast. You know, so that's just super exciting because, you have the ability. I mean, you got some showcases there, like we just talked about CFA. I mean, for a fighter today, that is a great place. An up-and-coming fighter,
a very great promotion to go if you happen to be groomed and go through the grooming process. You know, I've read it, you've seen it several times. And if George was on the phone right now at your show, you know, he would say if there's no easy fights in the CFA. They breed champions, and they absolutely do. I can't take nothing away from the CFA, what they're doing. Recently at the MMA Awards show, they won the 2012 Promotion of the Year. They won it for a reason,
I was just going to say, they're exciting. They're hard working. They're always searching out fighters, finding new fighters. I know they just recently signed Dervin Lopez to a 5-fight, and I'm drawing a blank right now, but they just signed somebody else the other day from my area. I wish I could think of it. I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on that right now. But I can tell you that.
Go ahead. I can tell you also. I mean, it's CFA. I'm really looking forward to this. CFA 9, January 19th. RSM client Socrates Pierre. He's 3-1. He's going to be fighting Michael Lilly on the card. He's also signed to the CFA as a CFA fighter. Really looking forward to seeing him come back from an injury he had last year of his last fight and taking time off to address the things and, seeing him get going and with his, he's got the hunger and the will. You know, he's a firefighter and he trained full time, aside from his shift schedule with the firehouse. So it's very interesting to see. And then, the women's tournament coming up. I'm super excited about that because, women, people that were kind of mainstream fans that didn't know WMMA existed, got a glimpse when all the Invicta came out and all the people that are MMA in the MMA community saw the hype and saw the things coming on. And then, they lived up to it. A lot of props to them for what they've done to help pave the way for other organizations to realize and give other outlets for these women. The CFA, George, I've heard him more than once on an interview compliment what Invicta's done to make him want to open up the women's divisions for his weight class. I mean, I know Dana White won't say it, but we all know the reason why he opened the 35 division is because he saw the success of what Invicta did.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely, man. I couldn't agree with you more. I think women's MMA is still a hidden gem. Really hasn't tapped to its full potential or anywhere close to it quite yet. I don't think the UFC is going to be the ones to help women's MMA explode because I think Dana's just on this women's MMA kick because he thinks it's a big money maker. Now, it is a big money maker if he handles it right and he does it right and pays these women their proper respect because women's MMA is a phenomenal addition to the sport of MMA. My belief is 100% in Invicta, that Invicta will be the sole purpose that women's MMA explodes across the world. When's that going to happen? I don't know, but I my full belief is in them, and I just hope Dana handles it appropriately and respectfully with the respect to these women fighters that he signed in. And kind of want to see Liz Carmouche go out there and surprise Ronda Rousey and take that title that she was given.
Now, Jason, let me ask you, I know you guys, you and your team, you're always out there. You guys are always looking at up-and-coming talent from amateur, pro, and all around the world, actually. Just curiosity for, fighters out there listening. Is there, something particular that a management company looks at for a fighter, like their ability to be social savvy or their ability to represent their sponsors well? Is there one key that you might say is something that catches your guys' eyes first?
Absolutely. When I look at new prospects, and I watch some of them giving some interviews, from ranging from a local media outlet or if they got an opportunity with a bigger show where they did an interview, for example, with a blog talk show like, we're on tonight. And, one of the things that's key for me is, I want to work with fighters that understand that they got to make that contribution as far as not aside from what they dedicate themselves in the gym, but also understand that, you know, marketing is everything and building a brand. I mean, essentially, a fighter's name is a brand. And if you don't understand that the necessariness of social media marketing, building your followers on Twitter, building your fan page and building your followers there, you know, it doesn't make sense. And, you know, I don't look to work with prima donnas. You know, I do my research. Unfortunately, there are some, not everybody. I like to work with humble, down-to-earth people, and that's what I look for, you know.
I have to ask, you know, obviously, you know, this show, you know, has a lot of listeners in the Southeast and, you know, and a lot of listeners around the world, you know, every week more and more. And, you know, we don't always get the chance. I'm lucky because I know you and I call you a friend. And, you know, I get a little bit more insight into what it takes for your company to run than the average person. But, you know, we get hit up all the time by fighters like, hey, man, you know, I'm undefeated, but nobody wants to look at me, you know. Well, do you have a Twitter account? No. Do you have a Facebook? No.
Well,
you know, it's interesting to be able to talk to you and ask you what you think about those things.
There's more to it than that, Skip. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, those all play factors. I mean, I look for the complete package. You know, somebody has to have a personality. I'll be honest with you. I've been hit up more times than I know how to count by people, and after I talk, you know, and I feel that they, if I don't feel like they have the right fit for our program and our model, then I'm not going to bring them on board. Why am I going to bring a bad apple to my tree, you know? RSM is not, you know, for everybody. There's different strokes for different folks. You know, the way we do things and our success rate, you know, may not be what a fighter expects, you know, or a fighter might not fit properly into the pieces of the puzzle, man, to make it work, you know. You know, and I'm not gun shy. If somebody hits me up and talks to me and asks me questions, I'm more than happy to do it. I've done it before and I'll do it now. You know, if somebody sent me a message asking me my opinion about things, I like to get to know the people that I work with a little bit. You know, it's all about relationships. You know, if you can't have a relationship, whether it be with a client or with a potential sponsor, then there's no benefit to either parties, you know. Because that relationship has to build up together at the end of the day. You know, it's a team effort. People behind, between the staff, you know, working for the client, and then our clients, you know, paying their dues in the gym. You know, at the end of the day, though, it's a team effort because they have the opportunity that we create for them to, you know, be in control of their own outcome. You know, if they have what it takes to take the next step, you know, they're going to keep the momentum going and keep working hard. And, you know, from working hard in the gym, they're going to keep earning W's, you know?
Yep. No, you know, I totally, totally agree with that. And, you know, I got to ask you, since I got you on the phone, and these guys, honestly, more than our show, have a lot of the upper echelon fighters from the UFC and Strikeforce on regularly, you know, we push a different segment of fighters on our show, but I know you're a fan of MMA, just like us all. Who do you got, Cain or Dos Santos?
Oh, wow. You know, it's really hard to tell. You know, nobody's taking JDS down, you know, because he's elusive and with his strikes, man. He's definitely got the best boxer for as a heavyweight. And I don't know. You know, people used to say back in the day, BJ Penn had the best boxer for MMA. I don't know, man. I almost think JDS does. I mean, if you look at it, the way he moves, man, his footwork, it's amazing. I think the key for Cain is him being able to not eat a big shot to get inside and take him down. But the question is, nobody's ever taken him down and kept him down. Can he keep him down and impose his will? You know, I mean, with his wrestling background coming from Arizona, I don't know. I really don't know how to call it. I'm kind of conflicted, to be honest with you.
Well, I know Matthew. He's a Cain fan, probably, being from Florida.
I'm a big fan of both of these guys. Honestly, I'm not going to pick the fight either way because I just want to see both those go. I want to see them both go out there and I want to see them brawl. I'm a big fan. Got a lot of respect for both guys. like you said, Jason, you know, people can't really seem to take JDS down. JDS has one powerful uppercut, as he showed. It's going to be a good fight. I think Kane's looking for some vengeance. Obviously, you know, Kane, he probably hasn't slept well ever since that first fight. You know, he's probably eaten him alive. In my opinion, I think that I don't know. I'm not really going to pick the fight. I want to see either guy wins. I'd be happy with it. I'm a big fan both ways, and I think it's going to be a great, great fight, though.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, but you know, honestly, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like watching the UFC cards, but there's some cards I get more excited about. To be honest with you, some of the access level cards I get more excited watching than some of the
absolutely
the cards that I see with the UFC, because the kid. One thing I kind of have a little bit of an issue, and maybe I might get bashed for saying this, but, you know, the guys that are on those pay-per-view cards, a lot of them are humble and great guys, but then you have some that are kind of full of themselves, per se. You know, but you know, it's like because they're there, it's like sometimes it seems like they lose focus or lose that hunger to keep themselves at, you know, to push themselves for more. Versus if you watch one of these access-level promotions, whether it be the XFC, Legacy, RFA, like the RFA's first card they had in Vegas, man, it was a great card from head to head, from start to finish, you know?
Yep.
The XFC is known for great matchmaking and have exciting fights from start to finish. The MFC has great fights up there with the Canadian fighters. And, you know, in all retrospect, you know, honestly, I'd rather pay money to go watch them than unless it's a particular fighter that I want to see, than go see a UFC vet, because these kids are hungry and they're going out there and they're bringing it. And that's exciting for the fans. You know?
Yeah. So while on that topic, while you're talking about Access TV and their I think Access TV right now is the best doing the best as far as like cable TV, you know, the DirecTV, Dish Network, you know, blah blah blah, Bright House, whatever you have. Access TV I think is doing the best for MMA because of how many varieties they're showing. I think XFC 21 is a very exciting promotion. Out of here, I want to actually ask, while on that subject, what did you think of the Eric Reynolds and Nick Newell fight?
I loved it because I represent Lorenzo Borgamo, and we took that fight on a couple weeks' notice. And, you know, I absolutely believe that, you know, had Lorenzo had a full training camp, you know, it's MMA, things happen. But with a full training camp, it did probably maybe we would have had a different outcome. But I kind of think Eric Reynolds is a little arrogant, if that makes any sense. You know, some of the things that I've seen that he says, and I think he's a little – I think it was a humbling experience for him to lose to Nick. You know, I didn't expect it to happen so quickly, but I called him – when I saw the matchup, you know, I said, if Nick's able to use his wrestling, that's going to make the difference in the fight, because I looked how easy it was for Lorenzo to take Eric Reynolds down, you know.
Okay. I got one for you. We're going to talk fighter real quick before we run out of time with you. Tell me, and tell the world, 23-7, 145-pound beast out of Sapo AT&T and a new member of Team Relentless Sports Management, what are we going to see from Devison?
From Drago?
Yes.
You know, I'll be honest with you, because if you notice, he fought a lot of tough fights in Brazil. The idea right now with him, you know, I'm looking forward to finding it in the right matchups over here with some of the upper echelon talent on the regional show. And then just kind of moving forward and progressing each step at a time, to be honest with you. You know, I'm not interested in throwing him right into the Wolfpack just yet. I mean, granted, with that kind of experience and that demonstrating his ability to succeed, there's no easy fights. But, you know, at the same time, I can definitely explore the right options and right fits for him, you know, and that's what I'm looking to do before we try to take it to the next step and hopefully eventually make it into the Zuffa machine, you know, into the UFC, you know?
Well, that guy, I think a lot of people need to be paying attention to. I'm excited that he's now part of your team and he's in that just great stable of fighters that you guys keep growing. Once again, your reach is just blowing up. There's a reason why, you know, I know there's a reason why you won that award, and it's your hard work and dedication, and this is things like this that show it. And you know, Jason, from one friend to another, and on behalf of Full Guard Fight Radio, I can't thank you enough coming on to, you know, BS with us for a little bit, brother.
No, no, anytime, brother. You know, anytime, you know,
yep.
I appreciate it, you know, and just a quick shout out, you know, I'd like to thank some of the companies that support Relentless Sports Management, you know, obviously Brawl Mall, you know, they've been great to us. American Knockout Wear, they've been great to us. Well Rounded, another apparel company, been great to us. NLA Performance, you know, they've been really keeping my guys what they need to do, you know, through their training camps and prepared and supplement needs. One Coconut Water, you know, Polani Watches that's supporting Amanda in her upcoming fight with Invicta 4 against Tamika Brett, I'm sorry. You know, Tough Prince, you know, Chase is a great guy. You know, it does quality work. You know, fighters out there, if you need to, you need a banner printed or any kind of print job done, look up toughprints.com. This guy does quality work, knows what he's doing. You know, and the other thing too, which you won't announce today since I see you were looking at our wall, Skip, I'm sure you saw that Julio Gallegos is fighting now January 19th up in Atlanta at Wild Bills against David Mewbourne.
Yep.
You know, start the year off right, man. You know, January 5th, Amanda's fighting with Invicta on Invicta 4. January 19th, Corey Mahon is fighting Cody Stevenson for a Rocketcon 145 belt. Socrates Pierre is fighting Mike Lilly at the CFA 9. Julio's fighting up in Atlanta against Dave Mewbourne. You know, got some things coming up in February and even March that they were finalizing, but I can't really say yeah, your name or anything about right now. But when I can, Skip, I will let you know. All that I can tell you for sure is March 2nd. You better, if you're in Florida and you have a chance to attend the CFA 10, I strongly urge you to come watch these women get down because there's a solid group of up-and-comers that are in this tournament. And be on the lookout for the Day Walker because Peggy Morgan's coming in to take names, you know?
Yeah. Jason, thank you so much tonight, man, for hanging out with us, brother.
Anytime, brother. Hey, you know, later on when you have a chance, give me a call.
I'll do that.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you guys again.
Hey, man. Take it easy, Jason. Thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, no problem. Have a good night.
Yeah, Matthew, thanks. You know, I'm glad you brought me on tonight's show, man. Everybody's
killing
it tonight.
You know, I was when we had the guest drop out, and I was thinking, man, you know, I want to fill that time, don't want to have too much open time, so, you know, who could we get? And it was like, you know, man, Skippy's been yelling at me for a while, you know, get Jason on, talk with Jason, and myself, I want to get, you know, I want to get a good relationship with him, get in business with him, and just kind of be able to cross promote and do some stuff with him down here since he's down here in the area. So I think we got somebody in queue. So why don't you go ahead and take it away, Skippy?
Hey Trey, what's up, killer?
Oh, me as usual, baby. Me as usual.
Hey, everybody, this is Trey. He covers Texas for MMA Madhouse. And actually, our next guest, who we should be having on soon, which is McSweeney. You know, in about 6-7 minutes, we should have him on. Dude, you obviously know McSweeney better than the rest of us. He took care of your legacy and made sure you had a good time and you were treated right and you didn't lose all your equipment.
Yeah, man, he gave me the good old, the show, you know, he kind of followed, I won't say he followed Bisbee's lead, but, you know, he kind of came off as a little bit abrasive. He was put in a different position. Well, I mean, Skip, you know, if you're not rubbing somebody wrong, then, you know, you're not doing something right. You know, you're not speaking your mind. You know, you got to stand for something. So, you know, you kind of got to give it up to him. Yeah, he, you know, at times he didn't look very classy on the show. But let me tell you what, meeting that cat in person, he was definitely a stand-up guy, and also handed me back my computer help me find my computer, which was we just won't go into details, but he helped me out and bullshitted with me and talked about K1 a little bit, and he wasn't as excited about it as I was, but if you just saw that fight that I posted with him and Michael McDonald, oh man, I mean I don't know, I know McDonald was Patch's prime at the time, but when we first came up, no mouthpiece, gloves in the backyard, and freaking pit bulls digging holes and shit everywhere, that's who we were watching. That was Michael McDonald, was the Mike Tyson of that time, that in itself, that would be like it'd be like some, a new cat coming onto the scene and just completely, murdering freaking, a top level, I wouldn't say Anderson Silva, but like a Koscheck or, a very top level person, pretty much like a Koscheck or a Hughes or a BJ Penn or, anybody that was just a little bit past their prime, well, actually he was probably about 5 years past his prime, but, he came in and he beat the legend, and if you saw that first round, oh my God, the only reason he was the legend is because he could have made it through that first round.
I tell you what, Matthew runs the Florida part of Madhouse, Trey. I just tagged you in the video, Matthew, so you'll be able to see this fight we're talking about. I mean, look.
Yeah, I see.
McSweeney's just a beast, let's be honest. I mean, look at who he's fought. I mean, look, me, Trey, we look at losses, too. And losses mean a lot. And I mean, he has fought some tough, tough SOBs.
Yeah, but several of his losses were kind of some bad luck losses, because in the house,
yeah.
Didn't Big Country tap him in the house, in the tough house? He tapped Matt Mitrione in the Ultimate Fighter.
That's what happened.
And fighters are fighters, So you got good days and you got bad days. But, I really have not, dude, I've been talking to you for, a couple hours now, trying to find this K1 record and this kickboxing record.
I don't know which ones are, we got to ask them which ones are under what rules. I mean, Matthew, I don't know if you know, but I know I found four fights for K1 style fights for him, but I don't know what ones other than the ones listed by K1 that were actually K1 rules.
Right.
I got four kickboxing fights for him. I got him as what I see is he was 1-3 in kickboxing.
Okay, and does it list were they K1 fights or does it just say
to,
kickboxing?
His first one was Fight at the Borders 4. Then it was a K1 European League 06, Cage Rage 21, and then K1 Grand Prix 2008.
So at least two of those were legitimate K1 rule fights.
Well, he made it to the Grand Prix 2008. I mean, that's no small accomplishment in itself. Do you remember who got him out of that tournament?
No, but you know what? We have the wonderful world of Google.
You know what? Better than that, we got James in queue with us, so let's just add James.
What is up?
What's going on, James?
I'm good, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, no problem, man. We're actually sitting here discussing your kickboxing background, your kickboxing records, and your K1 stuff. We were actually just trying to Skippy was going to go to the old Google to find out about the 2008 Grand Prix But we don't need Google. We got you right here. So talk about that 2008 Grand Prix and how it went for you.
Yeah, I actually did. I wasn't in the tournament. I was in the reserve match. So what happens is they do is they put you in a reserve fight. So you qualify the top 10 fighters of the world. They qualify for the final show. And then if anyone gets injured during that competition, then you get to step in as a reserve fighter. So I wasn't actually in the top 8 in that year, but I got a reserve fight, and I won that reserve fight, so that was pretty cool. But I had a busy year, 2004. I had a lot of fights in K1 that year. I think that was the year I fought Michael McDonald. I fought Stefan Leko that year as well. So I had a busy year that year. So it was cool.
So you fought Michael McDonald and Stefan Leko in the same year?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
And are you, I mean, I just know this because, you know, I walked up and got a picture with you. Man, you look like you're about 6'6", 6'7", because I'm almost 6 foot, and you were looking at the top of my head.
No, I'm about 6'3". I'm only about 6'3".
Yeah,
I'm about
that,
yeah.
Well, it must have been the slant in the arena then, or something, but... What weight did you meet with Leko at?
I actually used to fight probably around the same weight as I walk around it now. I was at my biggest in K1. I was only like 240. That was at my very biggest, to be honest. I'm quite a tall guy, but I can't. It's very hard for me to put on weight. I mean, I was never big into doing a lot of weightlifting and stuff like that. So at my biggest in K1, I was like 240, 241, but I wasn't as in shape as I am now. I was a bit more looser because in K1, I carried a little bit more water around the belly to make sure I could absorb some more shots than normal, taking a lot of body punches from men guys. But I think when I fought McDonald, I was around, I think I weighed in like 230 because he was a smaller heavyweight and he was very fast. So I tried to lean up a little bit for that fight.
Right. Right. That was all in 2004. So that was all back when K1 that was probably when I was trying to watch as much as I could, and really getting into the kickboxing as opposed to the straight boxing.
I was kind of bummed into that year because I was meant to fight Mirko Krokop in 2004. And what happened was Krokop was fighting McDonald, and Japan thought Krokop was easily going to win that fight, and Michael McDonald knocked Krokop out. It was a big shock in the K1, and so I was already scheduled to fight Mirko Krokop. And when he lost that fight against McDonald, the K1 weren't too happy, so they wanted to find a platform where I could fight McDonald, and what the winner would qualify for the K1 in Japan. So they found a platform in Cage Rage, which was a good thing in Wembley Arena, and K1 actually sanctioned it as a K1 fight, official K1, even though it was in a cage. They paid everybody's wages, and they sanctioned that fight. So that's why me and McDonald ended up fighting in Cage Rage.
So basically, since McDonald beat Krokop, you didn't get to fight Krokop, but you fought McDonald.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So basically, you took Krokop's place as the alternate or the extra fight.
Well, I think McDonald Krokop probably would have gone straight into the top 8, to be honest. But because I was young, they didn't, and I was still relatively new to K1 at that time. Japan was still, there's a lot of who it's more than who in K1 sometimes as well. And Mirko Krokop was such a big name. They would have put him straight into the top 8 if he'd have won that fight. And then when he lost
right.
that fight, and I won mine against McDonald, they put me in as a reserve. So it was a bit of a...
Right. Well,
I was expecting to go in, but it was a good honor. I still liked it.
All right. Well, we also got to think that's 04. Was that in Japan?
Yes, that was in the
K1.
Yeah.
Well, that's right in Krokop's prime days. So yeah, he was a big ticket draw. He was gonna be on the big ticket regardless. But
he was
you said you hadn't been training K1 that long in 2004. How long did you start training?
Well, I've been training Thai boxing my whole career. So I've been having other K-1 fights, but a lot of people say they fight K-1, but a lot of it is K-1 rules, which is more like kickboxing, clinch with one knee on entry rather than normal kickboxing. But official K-1, I hadn't been doing it that long. I probably done 3 years at that point. So I'd had 28, 30 fights at that point in official K-1.
Under official K-1 rules instead of Muay Thai rules, where, see, now one thing I did notice with the McDonald fight is, man, you were catching him with flying knees. If you didn't break half of the bones in his chest, that dude is freaking bulletproof.
You did
double hand his head a couple times, which, you know, it's just a natural instinct. But that was an amazing fight, and I'm lucky that I caught that was actually some commentary off of The Ultimate Fighter that I picked up on because I followed Michael McDonald for so long. And it was like, wait a minute, hey, this guy fought Michael McDonald. And it's like, and then it was, hey, wait a minute, this guy beat the shit out of Michael McDonald.
Well, it was funny because
that's part of the reason why as soon as I seen you, I started talking to you. You know, that's the first thing that came out of my mouth was, hey, when are you going to fight K-1 again, buddy?
Well, you know what? I got contacted by Glory actually this year. And we was looking at hopefully trying to get a fight organized for, they put on a show back in England. I think it's mid-March or something like that. But unfortunately, they couldn't get a match for me and it didn't kind of work out. So I was a bit, New Year's resolution for next year would be to fight a K-1 fight and then maybe fight a grappling tournament and get belted in Gi Jiu-Jitsu. So maybe it's in the works still for the new year. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, those are good goals to have, for sure. Good.
Hey, Trey, hold on a second. Matthew, I know you want to jump in.
Jump in.
Hey, I just want to say, you know, James, thanks for coming on with us tonight. I was just, you know, you guys were talking a lot about K-1. I kind of just wanted to ask, what you got going on right now? You know, what's coming up for you and what's the next on the horizon for you as far as fights go?
Right now we just, I've got a couple of contracts on offer right now, and I've actually just changed management companies. So it looks like I've got a couple of things heading my way. So I'm hoping to get a fight maybe late January, early February, but I'm very kind of honored right now, to be honest. I've got three offers on the table that are all around that kind of time, but because we haven't signed the contract just yet, I can't really announce what fight I'm going to take. But I'll let you guys know as soon as we make the decision. I'll get you guys a message, and maybe we can announce on your station for sure. But I'm looking for a busy. I want to fight two quick fights as quick as possible, and then we want to start hitting back on Joe Silva's door and trying to get back into the UFC.
Right on, man.
Now,
I was gonna say, I've seen. You know, you a lot lately, especially in about the last 8 months, really with a heavy, heavy social media push. How much of that is you and how much of that was the management?
All of my social media is me. I do all my Twitter and Facebook and everything else. And I do everything myself. Obviously, I worked side by side with a management company, and obviously all types of media. We try to work out a media plan and try to get everything going. But no, everything that I tweet and everything that I do is all myself personally, and I try to answer everyone if I can. And obviously, whether it's a good fan or a negative fan, I try to answer sometimes myself. If you follow me on Twitter, sometimes you catch me in a good mood and sometimes you catch me in a bad mood. I try to be myself at all times, and sometimes people like it and sometimes people don't, you know.
I love following you.
Hey,
I'm a big fan of yours.
That's exactly what I was hitting on earlier, dude, is that, I mean, if everybody loves you, then you ain't doing something right. You know what I mean? If somebody doesn't have a problem with you, then you got problems elsewhere. And just because some people can't handle the truth and they, you know, didn't like the way you worded some things because you our languages are somewhat mismatched. It really produced a very false image of you. Because I gotta say, when I met you, I was very impressed. And then when you helped me out and found my freaking computer for me, I was like, hey man, you know, how many people there would have done that? Not many people. So I've got to give it up to you on that. I've got to give you a personal thank you, and I've got to give you credit as being a stand-up individual for doing such a thing.
No problem, man. Yeah, no worries at all. It was cool. I just I found it in our changing room, so I didn't need to lose it.
Well, I've already lost it 3 or 4 times since, but I got it back. But, it's just, a lot of people wouldn't do that. It's just, a lot of people don't step out of their way to do anything good for anybody else. Period. And, and it's really nice to see, you were there supporting, cornering your boy,
love it.
Protege, right? And man, I must have saw you take, 50, 100 pictures with other people. You were walking around Houston, just digging it, dude. And that's the way a fighter ought to be. You can fight in the ring. Everybody knows you're a bad motherfucker. I don't want to fight you. I want to shake your hand. I want to ask you how bad, how hard did Michael McDonald hit?
McDonald, to be honest, was one. I put him in my top 5 of all time guys I had a good war with. He was one of my top fights in K1 I had because we had a real good fight. He hits extremely hard. He's a very good boxer. His boxing is real slick. And that was kind of why I had the game plan I had to hit him with a lot of knees and be very aggressive. And if you look at the fight again, at the end of the second round, he hit me with a spinning back heel kick to the inside of my leg. And he tore my teardrop muscle off the bone. So you'll see me at the end of that second round, I didn't sit down on the stool. I just stood up because I knew my leg was ruined. I had to go to hospital after that fight and have a surgery on that muscle and have that muscle reattached to the bone. So my coach just pretty much said to me, look, the last round, you've already won the fight. Just do not go down. Do not let him knock you down. And that's why you see at the third round, Michael came with a lot more pressure. He knew he did a lot of damage, and he was hoping to finish that fight off in that third round. But yeah, no, he can hit like he hits like a mule for sure. He's a powerful man.
Right on, man. So I want to ask a little bit. I'm a big fan of The Ultimate Fighter, and I've watched it here or there, and been a lot big fan of the guys that The Ultimate Fighter has found. I think The Ultimate Fighter has been a phenomenal thing for the UFC to do. So. As a guy who was on one of the best seasons, a big season, the heavyweight season, a lot of big name guys came off that show, including yourself, Roy Nelson, Matt Mitrione. What was it like in the house? What was it like getting to see those guys behind the scenes and, apart from the fighters, just getting to live with them for that time and get to know them as men?
It was a great experience. I probably wouldn't want to do it again, to be honest. at the time, I'd only been in America like 5 months. I pretty much had only come over to America to help Rashad prepare for Forrest Griffin. So I was in Albuquerque, and after Rashad won that fight, and I was kind of a sparring partner for him against Forrest, me and Greg Jackson and Rashad kind of clicked, and they all gave me the opportunity to go into The Ultimate Fighter, and I didn't even have to try out. I just had to pass my medical, so that was pretty cool. And I really didn't think I'd belong there, to be honest. I thought, well, I had only been studying groundwork for like 6 months, so I knew nothing. It was only my stand-up. And at that time, I was only 220 pounds, so I was definitely the smallest guy in the house, for sure. And I thought, well, I've got nothing to lose. I like to fight, and it's a challenge. Let's give it a go. And if I win, I deserve to be there. So I got as far as I got to the semifinals, and it was a very weird experience. It's nothing to do with fighting, to be honest. It's more psychological. It's a lot of things for the TV, and the exclusion was pretty strange. And to be around fighters, the saddest thing for me was was to hear everybody's story before the fight, and then when we had to pick to fight each other, like when I fought Wei Shivers, and I knew he had a daughter, and I knew he'd give up his job, and he wanted to be in the UFC, and I knew he had everything riding on it, and then I was the first person picked to fight him. So when I beat him, and then going home that night, and then seeing him so upset, and having dinner with a guy, knowing that his dreams had just been crushed in the first day, it was a pretty sad and emotional thing to do, you know, because obviously I need to win, but I still feel for his cause as well. So psychologically, it's kind of a plays with your mind, you know. You enjoy your success, but you also feel other people's pain for their sorrow. So it was kind of strange for me, but yeah, it was okay. I mean, there was a lot of guys in the house that I was good friends with, and then there's a few in the house that obviously we wasn't so close. So, but that's what the house does. It causes animosity, it causes drama, and that's why the show is so good. I believe the show is designed by a psychologist, and I think it's more to do with the mental aspect of the sport rather than the physical aspect of the sport. But, you know, it is what it is, and I think it's done the UFC great. It gives a great platform for a lot of these guys coming through to hurdle straight into the UFC to do well on the show. And you see a lot of guys, and so much talent has come from the Ultimate Fighter show throughout all of the seasons. There's been huge, huge talent that have gone to be world champions or great stars in the UFC. So it's a great platform for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you get the chance to see this last weekend's fight between Roy Nelson and Matt Mitrione?
Yeah, I actually had some free tickets to go and watch, but I didn't get a chance to go. But, yeah, I saw it on TV, and it's exactly what I thought would happen.
So you did. You thought Roy Nelson would go in there and take care of business pretty convincingly.
Yeah, for sure. I knew he would knock him out. I thought he'd either knock him out or he was going to get him on the ground and crucifix him and ground and pound him. That was my kind of prediction for that fight. I'm not a biggest fan of Matt Mitrione as a person or as a fighter, to be honest. I think he did okay when he came out of the house. He was lucky to get a contract, but he never really fought anybody after the house. It was a huge test. His only huge test he had when it was the first one against Chet Congo, and I wasn't very impressed with either of those guys' performance in that fight. I mean, Chet Congo is not the greatest fighter, but he's like the gatekeeper. You know, he's a tough guy. He's going to give you a hard fight.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he can hit like, you know, he's got very good heavy hands. But it wasn't a great fight, and then the only test after that from Matt Mitrione is now is Roy, and we all saw what just happened. So I think Matt's been very fortunate to make a career considering his talent.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Skippy, I don't know if you want to ask him something. You want to jump in?
Oh, well, you know, first of all, I want to tell you, you know, I'm a big fan of follow you on Twitter. That's why I asked you that earlier. I wanted to make sure all those cool tweets are coming from you, and I appreciate the love and that you show me on Twitter as well, and that you've showed our team at events all across the country. And I'm super excited to see you come back. I think you're truly an underestimated fighter in your class, and I hope you can get these two quick fights under your belt like you want, and we can see you knocking on that door. Because I think right now is a great time to have you in there. You know, I look at fighters in, you know, kind of two styles. You have old guard and new guard. You have fighters who fight, and you're one of those fighters, I feel, that is a fighter that fights. You're always in there to give it everything you got and to finish that fight as quick as you can and end up with your hand raised. So for me, as a fan who grew up in Europe with K1 and then moved to the States to see MMA evolve, you're my kind of fighter and have been for many years. And you know, I can't thank you enough for what you've done for the sport.
Oh, well, I really appreciate it. And that's kind of, it blows my mind that you say those words. But I don't know. I feel that, I mean, everyone has a story and everyone has fortunate and misfortunate stories. And I feel like timing was very wrong for me when I first went into the UFC. And I believe that looking back, that I was still pretty immature as a fighter in MMA. And I had this kind of arrogance of my stand-up ability would get me through. And I found out the hard way that wasn't the case. I didn't want to be a heavyweight. I just wanted to be a light heavyweight when I come out of the house. But when I knocked out Daryl Schoonover, and he was 265, I really didn't have the excuse to go down to 205. So then I met Travis Brown, and then it was a controversial loss where I mean, Travis is a monster, and he did a great job. He took me down to the ground, mounted me in ground and pounded. But then after there was controversy about I had bad cuts on the back of my head, and they didn't reverse the decision, but the UFC still paid me the winning purse because they said that there was too many illegal shots and the referee should have stopped that. And so then they allowed me to go to 205, and then I had a great fight lined up against another English guy. I think his name was Tom Blackman. And unfortunately, the week before the fight, he pulled out of a serious neck injury. And then I got to meet Fabio Maldonado, which I knew nothing about, on a week's notice in London, England, which is my hometown. And I really didn't want to be that guy to say, well, I don't know about him. I'm not going to take that fight. So I took that fight. Had a great first round. Didn't know much about Fabio apart from he was a good boxer. And then in the second round, I broke two ribs. He did a good body shot, and then the whole fight, I was just suffering with two broken ribs and tried to fight through to get a decision. The referee stopped it in the third, and then unfortunately I was released by the UFC. So I learned really the hard way. Now I've come back and I've won six out of my last eight. My last fight, I had another thing. I very poorly sick, got to Sweden, really sick, a temperature of 103. Same thing, I was a main event, and I didn't want to pull out for the fans, and I went out there and put on a really shit performance because I just didn't feel myself, and I was on antibiotics and wasn't good at all. So I learned my lesson again, but now I'm just so hungry to fight, and I feel that being here in Las Vegas, working with people like Robert Drysdale and got my wrestling down, I've got great striking coaches here and conditioning, I really feel like I've evolved as a person and as a fighter, and I really feel like this year is coming ahead. 2013 is going to be my year, and as soon as I can get these next two fights, I could really go out there again and show what I'm really made of and put on a real show, hopefully, for the fans.
Absolutely, man. I'm excited to see that. I would be following you, keeping up with what you got going on. Can't wait to see you back in the cage. Real quick, before we wrap you up and let you go for the night, man, just go ahead and give your shout-outs, man. Sponsors, Facebook, Twitter, go ahead and give your shout-outs.
Thank you very much. Just want to say, first of all, you guys having me on, it's a real pleasure to meet you guys and talk to you. And my sponsors, Hayabusa, Swelterware, Brawl Base, who else do I have? I forget everybody. Now this has put me on the spot. I forget everybody. Everybody who looks after me is great. Combat Corner, they look after me as well. They send me some great products out there. Check these guys out on the internet. You can follow me on McSweeney MMA on Twitter and on Instagram. Thank you, everybody, and I look forward to fighting for the new year.
All right, man. Take it easy. Look forward to seeing some great stuff from you, man. And wherever you go and whatever you're doing, MMA Madhouse will be supporting you and be promoting you, bro. So thanks for being with us tonight.
That's great, guys. Have a great Christmas, and I look forward to speaking to you in the new year.
All right, man. Take it
definitely
easy.
Definitely.
Take care, guys.
You.
Bye, bye.
Dude, that guy's a baller, man. Straight up,
yeah.
Dude. That guy is just too cool for school, man. I mean, like, he's old guard, man. That guy is what it's about, man.
Yeah. Before we we're rest of the time before we started getting into talking and some convo here, we are going to open up the phone lines. If you want to call in and talk with us, I believe we got somebody already interested in calling in, so we'll be probably hearing from him here in the next couple minutes. But you want to call in and talk, man? 310-742-1799 is the number. We're going to do these open lines for about the next 25 minutes or so. So give us a call. You got something to ask us. You know, while we got this time, obviously we want to give a shout-out to our sponsors, BrawlBase.com, CrossroaderClothing.com, and GatorMMA.com. Thank you for all that you're doing, man. You guys are great. Check them out at their websites. Check them out at their Facebook pages. It's all about furthering the sport and helping the sport of MMA grow from within. And guys like these and companies like these are the ones that are doing it. So check them out. And obviously, www.gfl.tv. Go check them out, man. I just love going on there and seeing my show listed as a weekly show. So I love that. I love going on there in the weekends and seeing what kind of fights they're going to show and stuff. So gfl.tv, man, it's the place to go for your local MMA. To watch it anyways. You want to hear about it, all the news and all the coverage, you're going to go to MMAMadhouse.com, obviously the best there is. So with that said, I got to redeem myself real quick, Skippy. You know, we were talking with Jason, you know, talking about the CFA and talking about how active they are in signing guys, and I was drawing a blank and I couldn't think of the guy they just recently signed, and now I'm smacking myself in the head because it's a guy that I know and a guy that I've interviewed and met a few times. It's Charles Rosa out of ATT Boynton Beach. You exciting young fighter with a lot to offer this sport. He just got signed to a big deal for the CFA. So, Charles, I apologize for just going blank on your name there. But we do have a caller in queue, as I expected. We're going to go ahead and bring in my coach, my good friend of mine, Daniel Blevins. How you doing, Coach?
Good, Matthew. How you guys doing? How you doing, Skippy? Oh, killing it, brother, killing it. Right now I'm munching on food. We just had some bagels delivered. I was like, great, Matthew's got it. I'm going to take a bite of this bagel. And you're like, how you doing, Skippy? I was like, you got me. Hey, how you been?
Been good, been really good. A lot of changes going on our way, and I think it's all for the good. Had a great weekend this weekend, and got to see Matthew progress as a student today. A little bit more so, I'm not allowed to bring up too many details, but let's just say he's working hard. So,
well, you know, we love the, you know, the honor and the respect that you give us, and you know, we love the fact that, you know, you got Matthew in there and you're teaching him, and you know, just one more example of why your school is so important for the community and for athletes out there. You know, you guys, your doors are open to everybody, and I love it, you know, every level, you know, and that's great. And your support of local MMA is amazing.
Well, thank you. You know, if I can't do something that my family, my kids, my wife can't be proud of, then I don't want to do it. And I think the way we have it set up, it truly is. It's a community, and it's a community that serves the community, too. So I'm very proud of it, very proud of what we do there. So, but, you know, we're very proud of our guys, too. I heard you guys talking about Dean the Machine and Ladarius and poor Z, you know, having to cut and get down and being disrespected the way he was. But, you know, it's part of the sport, unfortunately. But I know we're going to be up at Rafael Garcia's card coming up, and we have four fighters going over to that, and I think it's going to be another great weekend.
Okay, I got a great question for you. Okay, because I know that you're not just looking at it from, you know, a perspective of that's just a fighter, because your own son is training in this sport, and so I know you're taking a maybe even a little different view. So let me ask your view on amateurs cutting weight. Do you see amateurs cutting too much weight today?
You know what? Cutting weight goes all the way back to high school wrestling. It goes back a long way. I don't like to see cutting weight until somebody is 17, 18 years old, till their body is more developed. And even when they do cut, you know, only a few pounds. Now, amateur fighters, these guys are trying to make a career out of it. And you know, unfortunately, part of this industry is having to drop 10, 15 pounds in the matter of a few days and get that weight off and weigh in and pack it right back on with some Pedialyte and fluids. It depends on how they do it. If they do it just through water weight, it's not a bad thing. If they sit there and try and take, you know, laxatives and just other stuff that's very dangerous, yeah, I got a big problem with that. There's smart ways to do it, you know, just through a little bit of working hard and getting a sweat going and just dropping the weight that way. It's part of the industry. Unfortunately, you know, guys see an advantage to it. There is an advantage. You know, it is what it is. So every time you put your name on that card, you can expect the guy's going to be weighing 10, 15 pounds over what the weigh-in is.
Well, yeah, you know, and with you having, like I said, not only students but a son involved in the sport, my curiosity is the long-term effects on their kidneys.
I understand what you're saying. I guess my point is they get to a weight where they sustain, and if they're only cutting weight one day every two or three months, I don't really foresee a very long or very prolonged effect against them. If they're having to cut weight every day or every week, and you know, that's a different story. But you know, most of these guys are only fighting once every two months, every 3 months. So in the amateurs, I don't see it as big of a risk as people might see it. If these guys are fighting, you know, every 2 or 3 weeks, yeah, you got a different story there. Now you're traumatizing your body, and it's not used to that. But every couple months, I don't see it as too bad. My son, I never want to see him cut weight. I know he's going to have to in the future if he decides to pursue this as a sport. It's the elephant in the room in regards to what fighters have to do. It sucks, but I never want to see him have to do it. But at the same time, if it's within 10 pounds and, you know, he's big enough for it, then I don't see too much wrong with it. You can drop 10 pounds of water weight pretty quickly through sweat and put it right back on within a few hours.
Okay, well, you know, look, a lot of fans aren't as blessed as we are to get to know people in the industry, especially somebody like you at Gator MMA, where we can pick your brain about these kinds of things that we hear pop up on chat boards and questions and, you know. So we're blessed to be able to have you call in tonight just to pick your brain.
Hey, I'm blessed to have you guys be able to ask me the questions and give me a platform to answer and a platform to you know, brag about our gym and our guys. So the feeling is mutual.
Well, you know, with you just said you already talking about the next card coming up. Matthew's mentioned it to me a little. Can you go through it again? Because I'm not going to lie, I was eating a bagel and I heard you mention something about the card.
Yeah, we got four guys on the Rafael Garcia's card. We got Curtis Vert, Dean Stupar, Abby Vasquez for a title fight. We got Jeremy Christensen going out there representing his debut at 170. It should be a good time. You know, I brag about my guys. I always tell people don't blink when they come out there because they like to put on a show. They like to go at it hard, get those takedowns quick, and start on top. So it should be a good card. These guys, I don't have the fighters' names in front of me. I know Abby's fighting Nick Van Dam. Curtis is fighting Jason Pruitt. And the other two guys, David Rivera is Dean Stupar's guy. Jeremy Christensen, I can't think of his name right off the bat. I don't have his name in front of me. But, you know, like I say, you know, our guys, they come in there, they work hard, and I know they represent well, win or lose.
Yeah, definitely, man, definitely. I'm excited to be there. That's a world-class fight league, too, on January 19th at the Hilton Doubletree in Tampa. Madhouse will hear all about it because I'll be there cage side. I love those guys that run that promotion, Ralph and Dwayne. They do a great job out there, and they haven't seen much yet. They got a little taste of Gator at the first event from Ladarius. Ladarius went out there and put on a show, but they'll be getting a big taste of Gator MMA here coming at their second event. So they'll be wanting the guys back. They'll be wanting our guys back fight after fight. They'll be calling up and asking for some Gator guys on their cards because the Gator guys put on big shows.
We put on big shows, but we put out a lot of respect, too. You know, we have such a respect for the sport, and we love it. And, you know, win or lose, our guys are out there. You know, they understand the hard work that the other opponents put on. And it's a beautiful thing watching competitors compete. And no matter who you root for, going out to these fight cards, go out there and support your local MMA. It's these guys are trying and they're aspiring to be bigger and greater things, and it's the platform that the fans give them and these promoters like Rafael Garcia gives them that allows them to do that. So you got to go out there, support these local fighters because you never know. It might be the next UFC guy that you're talking about and you just missed him when he was in your backyard.
Absolutely.
Hey, you know, I just got to touch on that real quick because it's funny he says that. There was only 118 people in the crowd who watched Jason Mayhem Miller and Chael Sonnen fight a King of the Cage when the cage broke, and they continued to fight for one more round with only half a cage. Okay? That's why you go out and support local MMA.
That's exactly why you support local MMA. You never know what's going to happen. You never know that guy that you're watching right then is going to be, you know, the next big thing in 12 months, 2 years. You never know. This is arena football. This is, you know, this is minor leagues for baseball.
That's a great
it
reference.
Really is that platform.
That's an awesome reference.
No, you know,
totally
these guys, a lot of guys out there, they work hard. They work just as hard as the pros, and you know, if they take it serious, you know, they know this is their shot. They know each week that they go out there that somebody might be in the crowd that will catch their eye and maybe give them that chance to that next level. So you always got to go in there hopeful and put on the best show that you can, and these guys are ready to do that day in and day out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
you know, go ahead, Skip.
I wanted to tell you, I got my box in from Fear the Fighter, and it sounds like a shameless plug, and it kind of is, but I'm a proud dad. My hoodies came in, and I'm going to be rocking Ethan's hoodie for the rest of my life because it is the coolest, absolute coolest thing a dad could ever put on is, you know, a hoodie or a shirt with his son's name on it from a company like Fear the Fighter, but it came in today, so Matthew, when you see me tomorrow, you're going to see my new hoodie. You know, I'm so stoked. I'm beyond stoked right now. I was a kid in a candy store opening that box tonight. So I've been waiting for a couple months for it to come out, and it finally came out. So I'm beyond stoked.
Right on, man.
Congratulations.
Right on.
Thank you very much.
Can't wait for the little guy to start feeling better and get back at the gym. It's just not the same without him running around schooling everybody.
Oh man, he's been suffering from this flu going around, and you know, he's been laid up for a good 4 or 5 days easy. Actually longer than that. It's going on a week. He hasn't done anything since last Friday, so yeah, he's been kinda hurting a little bit, but he's coming along. He's getting a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, just to touch on what you were saying about these young, hungry fighters, and you know, my first guy that pops in my head, you know, is Curtis Burt. Me and Curtis were talking a little bit tonight, and talking about, you know, just what he's got going on, what he wants to do, what he's trying to do for himself and stuff. And you know, he's just that dude is a hungry young fighter. There is such a passion in his eyes. I can't wait to watch him get back in the cage here at the WCFL event. He's 1-0. You know, he got a really a very decisive unanimous decision victory last month or the month before, and he's hungry, man. He can't wait to get back in the cage. We'll actually be talking to him in a few weeks, going to put him on the radio here in a couple weeks, but that's just he was the first name that popped in my head when you were talking about these hungry young guys that are trying to make a living. Just Curtis, man, the guy, you know, just this dude's about a foot shorter than me, man. Picked me up over his head last night and slammed me down so hard. So I would never want to get in the cage against that guy, and I pity anybody who does, but I can't wait to watch him get in there and do his business next month. Same with Dean, Abby, and Jeremy.
Absolutely. You can't say enough about Mighty Mouse. I watched him in the cage working out with Fritz one day, and he hit Fritz in a fireman's. In a fireman's. Now you understand the difference between Fritz, and we all love Fritz. We love us some Fritz. But he put Fritz in a fireman's while they were working out, and you're talking about a good 120-pound disparity between weight. You know, that's not a guy that weighs 5, 10, 20 pounds more than you. Fritz is a big boy, and Curtis, you know, we call him Mighty Mouse for a reason. He's not really a big guy, but man, he's full of power, that's for sure. You know, he's fun to watch, definitely fun to watch. So it's going to be fun.
Absolutely.
No matter what, our guys are going to go out there. They're going to get some big takedowns. You know us. We like to attack, and we like to push the pace. I feel that our fighters have the biggest gas tanks on them, the biggest hearts on them, and that's why we go forward. We never go backwards. So,
absolutely.
You know, Dean Machine, Abby, all these guys—they're going out there, and they're gonna leave you smiling in the end, Matthew. I promise. Skippy, when you watch the videos, you're gonna love these guys. Last time Mighty Mouse fought, he bounced a kid off of the cage and slammed him. You know, it was beautiful.
Well, hopefully, if things work out, I'm working on possibly in March going down to Panama to watch some boys from Tunisia fight at an event down there in Roberto Duran Stadium. So if this works out, we're going to make our trip back through Florida, and then I'll have my wife and kids fly down and meet me in Texas. So if all this works out, hopefully around the end of March, I'll be down in Florida, and hopefully I'll get to catch an event and see these kids actually fight in person.
Oh, that would be absolutely terrific. And you know, there's always going to be amateur fight cards every month, so we're probably going to be on one of them around the time you come in. And if you come in, we'll try and get our guys on a couple of them. We'd love to have you as a guest and show you around the area. I know Matthew definitely is going to show you everywhere around this place and, you know, get you out to Clearwater and all these, you know. There's just so much to do out here. MMA fighting, amateur fighting is really taking off, and it's just one more thing added to the beauty of Florida.
It definitely is, man. Matthew, he's definitely kept me apprised on, you know, the MMA scene down there. And I love having him down there because, obviously, he brings a lot of new exposure for fans, gyms, and fighters, events to the fans around the world. And, once again, we're blessed to be able to hook up with you and in your gym at Gator MMA. And obviously, your son, I mean, you know, that's, you know, the future of the sport right there. Guys like him and Jacob Brown and Ben the Tiger, you know, those guys right there and the ladies and stuff to the future. And, you know, I love the fact that you're so, so proud. I would be the same way. Look, my son got the only kid to get straight A's in math in the whole year so far, and I'm flipping excited and proud of that, let alone if he came home with a shirt that said best math student, you know, in the sport, you know. So that's sick that, you know, you get to rep your son's gear. That's got to be such an honor for a dad.
Oh, sometimes he leaves me speechless. If you watch his work ethic, you know, people always watch how he competes at these tournaments, and they're like, man, that kid is amazing. And if you just get a chance to watch him for one practice, you would think that tournaments were nothing compared to how he practices. He is amazing day in and day out. His work ethic is beyond anything I've ever seen. The late entry program, Marines come in and they can't keep up with him. You know, he's a cardio coach for most of our guys. He is just an amazing kid. Jacob Brown, another amazing kid. These two came in. They rolled for 22 minutes. And then again, I want to say 18 or 19 minutes after that. And it was like they weren't even tired. These kids have the biggest hearts, you know, compassionate kids. They were instant friends. If the future of MMA is relied on kids like this, MMA is going nowhere but up still. It really is, because they just have a different kind of sense they just look at the sport differently. It's not about the accolades anymore. Ethan, he hasn't kept a medal in a year and a half. He doesn't care about the medals. He just likes to go out there and compete, and then he gives his medals away to the kids who didn't win. So, you know, it's different. Matthew, Skippy, if I could put out there, there's two sites I want everybody to check out. Future Fighters, it involves kids, allows them to go put stats up for kids and help get sponsorships, along with the Kids of MMA. The Kids of MMA, they got a bad rap here recently. There was a former person who started the site had done some shady deals. So a new group of people have come in, taken everything over. This guy is gone. They're trying to do right by everybody that was wronged in the last company, and it looks like they're doing great things. So I wanted to put it out there, the Kids of MMA on Facebook, kidsofmma.com. The site is still under construction, but if you look up that company, Future Fighters as well, look up futurefighters.com with a Z on the end. You know, these guys are all trying to promote kids, just what we were talking about, the future of MMA. And, you know, just it's another platform for people to get their kids out there. So it's good to have companies like this really looking out for the interests of kids. And I hope, you know, I hope people really go on there and see what they have to offer and see what they can do for them. So.
Right on. Well, thanks for calling in, Coach. Thanks for giving us your time. I know it's a little late over here on the East Coast, and I think I'm about ready for bed myself. So
guys,
thanks for calling in,
Matthew,
and being with us tonight.
hey, thank you guys for having me. Matthew, Skippy, Carl, you guys are awesome. Listening to you every week. Keep doing what you're doing. Our sport revolves around people and support like you. So thank you. I'll talk to you guys later on. Matthew, I will see you tomorrow, sir.
Yes, you will, sir. Have a good night.
Grind them out for me.
What's up, Skippy? What's that?
I thought it would grind you out, man. Put you to the ringer. Shark
I got worked. I wasn't there for long tonight. I was only there for about an hour tonight. You know, wanted to get back here for the show and get ready and stuff. But I got worked tonight, man. I got we did a little single elimination tournament type thing in jiu-jitsu there. We were having fun with a lot of the guys and girl, you know, Krista was out there too. Krista's my rolling partner, man. We spent a lot of time rolling together and doing jits together and she works me, man. We're starting to get real used to each other and get to know when each other's going to try and make a move. So we're really testing and pushing each other. I got to give a big shout out to Krista Marty. She's looking at stepping in the cage and fighting sometime early 2013. So she's scrappy, man. She is tough. I tell you, I got about 50 pounds on her, man, but she can toss me around. So, you know, real quick before we start wrapping up and getting out of here for the night, I want to give a shout out to BrawlBase.com, CrossroaderClothing.com, GatorMMA.com, and GFL.TV. You know, thanks for all you guys do, and check those websites out because they are awesome. Just to wrap up, though, you know, it was a great show, Skippy. Glad that you could take 2 hours out of your time to be with me here tonight.
No, I thank you because this way I don't have to go over to Triumph Fitness quite yet and get my ass kicked.
This unfortunately, man, we're going to be wrapping up the year here in about a week and a half. There's going to be a big show of the MMA Madhouse Live show at the, January 2nd. You guys are going to do like an end of the year wrap-up episode. It's going to be a big show for MMAMadhouse.com. And we'll be off, us here at Full Guard Fight Radio, we'll be off for 2 weeks. So, you know, check out MMAMadhouse.com. Keep up to date with what we're going on. We'll be back the second week of January. Look for a big show. You know, that gives us like 3 weeks right there to really pump up the first show of 2013. So I'm excited about that. Already got some people in mind I want to get on the air. So just keep up with what we're doing at Full Guard Fight Radio on Facebook. You know, I'm on Twitter. My co-host Jason at Full Guard under Fight Gear. He's on Twitter too, and you can find him at Full Guard Fight Gear on Facebook. You know, just check us out. Keep up to date. Like I said, MMAMadhouse.com is the fastest growing thing on the internet. We're up over 5,000 likes on Facebook. We got nonstop coverage on the website, just constantly. Our guys are out places, guys and girls. You know, we're always out places. You know, check us all out. Check out Skippy, Lapati, Carl, Caitlin, Trey, Devin, Sam the Sea Monster, you know, myself, Full Guard Fight Gear, Jason London. Just goes on and on, man. Chris Gregory, man, everybody. Spencer, Diablo, Pablo Diablo, man. It's a big family we got here. You know, it's an honor to work with all of them. You know, I check out the other shows, Cage Fire Radio also, man. Skippy, Caitlin, and the Sea Monster, they're rocking it on Tuesday nights. You know, don't forget Wednesday nights, MMA Madhouse Live, the mothership radio station for this great website, and just check out what we got going on. It's nonstop. It really is. You know, MMA is ever growing. It has not even come close to its full potential, and I'm proud to be part of MMA Madhouse. I'm proud to be part of Gator MMA and two great organizations that are doing their best to help the local scene grow so that the international scene continues to be fed and to be growing. So, you know, just check us out, MMAMadhouse.com. Thanks for being with us tonight. James McSweeney, Antonio McKee, Jason Ellis, and Coach Daniel Blevins, man. Thanks for joining us tonight. We'll talk to you guys in a couple weeks. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And a big shout-out to Lapati again. I love you, Lapati. You're my boy.
That can't be the last. No, man. How am I going to go out with a big intro? MMAMadhouse.com. We'll see you guys 2013.
Okay, people, time to disperse. Party's over.